Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from my...
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, it's kind of chilly. You know, I think it's like 12 degrees off of a cold lake front and some snow on the ground, and we're going to get some more tomorrow and Saturday. And how's the weather by you?
Sunny too and sunny. It was a nice ride up to Anaheim to drop off a bike and a nice ride back.
There you go.
Got to see
two worlds here.
Yeah, T-Rod today.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's doing good. Got a cold, though. He's probably trying to take care of it before he gets pneumonia. I said, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
But, no, he's doing good. Nice little place. Everything's good.
Good.
Yeah, he caught my attention.
Isn't he still bike building with you know who or no?
No, not for a while now. Hurting of the ways.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, parting of the ways, none of my business, never asked, don't care.
No, I didn't know. When I said
I
was on the show, I knew. Okay.
Yeah.
That was quick. But, yeah, then, you know, glad to hear he's doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, besides the cold.
Yeah. Saw Bill today.
How's he doing? How's his wife?
Yeah, he's all right.
Good.
But, yeah. Just the regular Thursday night show, and he said to tell everybody hello.
Make sure you tell him hello.
Yeah, I talked to Rusty yesterday, and...
How's he doing?
Good. He said, we're working on next week.
Awesome.
So I just got to...
Get everything situated. Yeah. Understandable.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't really have a topic for today either.
Oh, that's okay. We can just wing it. We're good at doing that. Now, has there been any more updates in regards with, like, the bikies, or are they still
going through
everything? Okay.
We're still going in. If you wanna go and find out more, you can read it on my blog. But
well, I'm on the one like page from a mutual friend of ours sent it to me. I like it, and so I did. So I'm able to see so much, you know. But I didn't know if there might have been any more development since last she was on.
Well, yeah, but if you want to know more, articles that I have that were sent to me are on the blog. So they'll just stick to one perspective from everybody.
Okay.
But five men got accused of belonging or being associated with one of the clubs over there. And they were arrested for violating. Four of them were accused. They were observed drinking in pairs on opposite sides of a large bar.
Right.
And then the fifth guy was there, but he was away from them. And they only arrested two guys that belonged to the club. The rest they arrested as associates.
Right.
You know, it's like the same thing when the guy told them, well, what threat do a group of blokes having a beer on the veranda of a pub pose to anyone?
Right.
crazy. And then they got another five guys by paramilitary raids.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
No.
But, you know, as we know, eventually it will come here, you know, stateside.
Nah, it, what stops them really is we've got a Bill of Rights.
Well, yeah, but, you know, if things keep going the way they are, we're losing so many of our rights. It's, you know, it's hard to say at this point.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them that they're trying to change, but for right now, everything's in force. So.
Right. Well, as of January 1st, under one of the God knows how many new laws that will come into play, the first one on the boots, if you're not aware of it yet, if anyone is caught, if they, you know, pursue it, they, if you toss out a cigarette butt, that's a $1,500 fine.
Oh, yeah, I read that the other day.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's $1,000.
No, it's $1,500. No, $1,500.
There, it's $1,000
you know,
here.
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, I can understand to a certain degree. I mean, you know where my location is, okay? And I deal with that all summer long, winter long, meaning, you know, because when traffic builds up, you know, instead of someone using an ashtray, ping, out the window. And, you know, it's like I keep a container in the front and one on my back porch, you know, for smoking. So they're not, butts are not all over the place, okay? But unfortunately, not everybody else is, you know, kind enough to keep their butts in their vehicle instead of whipping them all over your yard, you know, because I don't want to touch them bare hand. You don't know where their mouth has been, but you know where yours has been. You know, that's a different story. So we'll see what happens if they actually enforce it or if it's just one of those laws on the books that it'll be a hit or miss, like if someone gets a hard on, okay, I'm bored, so I just saw this. Here's your ticket, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, you know, what do you do?
Well, you can't fight it because there's no way to get around that hefty fine. I think it's just another way of our state or the state I'm in, you know, to make money because we're so damn ass broke.
Mhm.
So, yeah. But, you know, this is what I found excessively ridiculous. And, you know, I know that we get watched and everything else and listen to, I get that, you know, but what really annoys me is, you know, I don't, if you're on your computer, why do the feds feel like they have to sit there and watch you and you're not even in your camp, you know, mm-hmm. say either for Skype or what have you, you know, I mean, if you don't have a record, or you're not doing anything wrong, why do they feel the need to watch you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well...
But
yeah,
even if you do have a record, and you're staying clean, so what? I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
You're guilty. Over there, you're guilty. It's not like you're guilty. You're not guilty until proven. Or you're
right.
Innocent until guilty.
I know.
They don't have it. That comes under our Bill of Rights that we have, that they don't.
Yep. So, I don't know. Have any new laws come up in your states?
Not that I've seen yet, but I'm waiting.
Right.
You know, there's the unification rally is coming up there, and they got some people they're going to talk to. It's called Bro.
Right.
California.
Okay.
Yeah. I try to get a hold of somebody. And, I told them to where he could get. He needed an interpreter.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, nothing else really going on.
Right.
What?
I'm sorry.
The Chargers are playing Denver, so everybody's probably watching their TVs tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get into Chargers or Broncos. Now, I don't know if you're aware, I can't say the exact number because I don't have it in front of me to give that, but it's an insane amount of number of people that have gone through the Obamacare website, you know, to say that they were approved, to find out that they were all denied. I want to say it was like 170,000.
For what?
The Obamacare. Yeah. You know, and so if this is how it's supposed to be, why did they put it out there in the first place? To get people to think, oh, well, if you don't have insurance, either private carrier or whatever, okay, you don't have insurance, you need medical attention, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. Go to this website, go through the whole schmeal, you know, pick out your plan, and you're going to be insured.
Yeah, right.
Bullshit. Just so you can get denied. So, you know, it's not like hospitals don't do what they call a charity case, meaning they know you don't have money, any kind of asset to sit there and, you know, pay for care. And there are, every single hospital has that, where you can receive a paper stating that you are a charity case. So whatever you need, it gets paid, and you're not going to be stuck with a bill at the end of your life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what are senior citizens going to do if they don't have it, or disabled, or whatever the case may be? What are these people going to do without any kind of care? Because
mm-hmm.
it's too expensive to sit there and,
the ones that are going to suffer most are the old people.
Yeah. And for what? They've lived their whole entire life, worked their whole entire life, or did something, okay, to grow old and get nothing. Not even Social Security at the end of the day. Or
mm-hmm.
it's going to be very limited. Like I said, I still don't, I don't like the fact that, you know, they've done this with that site. Get everybody hyped up for nothing.
Yeah. It was, trust me, it was set up to fail.
Yeah.
I'm answering somebody's question.
Oh, no, that's okay.
And somebody wanted advice on how to, they're having a little trouble with a patch of the deal because of one word in it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to tell them what to do. But, yeah, if you want to read that article from the... Australia thing. We got,
Did you send that to me? Because when I last looked at my email, I didn't get anything from you.
Australia put a $5 million bounty on bikers. Hey, I'm going to send you this. I'll send it to you right now.
Oh, Lord.
They put a $5 million bounty.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Basically, spy on your
name. Who the hell has $5 million except for, you know, somebody that's rich?
The government did. The government's the one that did it.
Yeah, but it's still wrong on all levels. Sorry. Just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in there right now.
You sent it right now.
That's okay.
I should have sent it earlier, but I was out today taking care of business.
No, that's okay. I mean, I understand. That's why I said, you know, I didn't receive anything the last time I was. Okay. Battle plans. Premier Campbell Newman with Police Minister Jack Dempsey and Police Commissioner Ian Stewart pick Jack Tran, Source News Limited. Premier Campbell Newman has described himself as like a rat up a drain pipe in the fight against outlaw motorcycle gang members in Queensland. Mr. Newman said the help of general public was integral in protecting the state. We are just needing Queenslanders to come forward and give us information. Small bits through the large bits, he told ABC Radio. What we need is for people to be conscious that there might be weird activity at a house up the road. We need Queensland to stand together. The premier said he was making bikies a priority. I can assure you that since Saturday morning, I have been like a rat up a drain pipe on this one, he said. He said the government would support police 100%. Investigation undercovers businesses, bikie links. A 9 News investigation has uncovered 74 businesses across the southeast of Brisbane with links to bikie gangs. Okay, wait a minute. Let me scroll down here.
Mm-hmm.
They will get whatever they need to do their job, he said. They will get it. They have it, have to justify it. But if they can justify it, they will get it. This is going to be an unprecedented effort in this country. Overnight, it was reported that the state had posted a record $5 million bounty to help eradicate outlaw motorcycle gangs following another public stoush between warring bikies and the Gold Coast Premier Campbell Newman has promised to hand out lucrative rewards to people who provide information to Crime Stoppers, leading to the arrest of criminal motorcycle gang members. Thanks goes Global and Mongo's merger. Bikies brawl out on the Gold Coast. This is unbelievable. Bikies have terrified holidaymakers on the Gold Coast with a variety of public brawl. That's all men throwing table. I'm sorry.
Listen, don't mention the names. Just say bikies, bikie club.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. They had seen bikies throwing.
They're not here to defend themselves.
No, okay. I'm sorry. You just asked me. I didn't know. That was my fault. I'm sorry. they saw men throwing tables and chairs at each other, just meters from where our families were having breakfast. Accused, can I say that? Penis biter quizzed over bra. Newman calls on Queensland to beat bikies, police women targeted in gang brawl. The bounty includes $1,000 cash for tip-offs that leads to successful raids and $500,000 for information that results in the successful prosecution or shutdown of a criminal gang. Speaking exclusively to the Courier Mail, Mr. Newman said the $5 million in reward was a measure of how determined his government was to rid Queensland from bikie menace. When the community, or within the community, the police and the justice system working hand in hand, these violent thugs and criminals will have nowhere to hide, Mr. Newman said. Escorted, accused brawler is led to Southport Watch House. Escorted, accused brawler is led to Southport Watch House, an overseas trade trip revealing how Friday night's violence on the Gold Coast was a turning point for him. He said he was dismayed and angry to see a brawl occur in a family place, and even more outraged that a group of people would go to a police station demanding a bikie to be released from the watch house. Now, do they consider a watch house like a police department or something? Kind of?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I didn't know because I don't know what the terms are for, you know, Australia.
Yeah, read it as it is.
Okay. Wait a minute. Just finding my spot here. Okay. This is not the Wild West. It is Queensland in 2013. And people like that need to take a real reality check, Mr. Newman said. Just over a month ago, the premier declared Queensland would not be a state where people in leather jackets and tattoos went straight to jail. But he acknowledged that was no longer his position. My previous comments demonstrate that we were prepared to give them an opportunity to see that the government was serious, but clearly it wasn't enough. And now we're getting on with it in this particular way, he said. CSI Miami, CSI Miami scene on the latest Gold Coast with a bikie brawl. even more extreme laws targeting bikies would be introduced to Parliament in a fortnight in addition to those announced yesterday, banning gang members from gathering in groups and at certain places and shutting them out of the tattoo industry. This is crazy.
I send you another one.
Okay. You want me to read that one? Let go of this one, read the other. Okay. Or do you want me to finish this and then read the other?
Read it now. Read what you're reading.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay, Mr. Newman would not say how much further his government would go to run bikies out of Queensland, but warned there would be more. We will try different approaches, every possible approach to actually shut these gangs down, to take away their money, their assets, their motorcycles, their guns, their drugs. That's what we're going to do, he said. The aggressive stance was immediately condemned by civil libertarians as way over the top and designed to deflect attention from the real issue. a shortage of police on the Gold Coast. Civil libertarian and criminal defense solicitor said the shooting of a second police officer on the Gold Coast in just over 2 years had created a political problem for the government. We're in the relatively rare position that we agree with the police union that there are insufficient police numbers on the Gold Coast, which is a place that attracts over 8 million tourists a year, Mr. Gorman said. The real problem is a failure by the government to respond to a campaign by the mayor, the tourism body, and businesses saying, we need more police. The LNP had promised to boost police numbers on the Gold Coast by 100 in its first 4 years, but 136 extra officers have been sent to the region, including Logan, since March 2002. In coming days, an additional 100 officers will be based on the Gold Coast, taking the size of the local police force to more than 900 currently. 830 police are permanently based on the Glitter Strip. Additional reporting.
Is that the first one? Are you reading the first article?
Yeah. So now okay. I'm going to the second one. I can't.
Oh, let me know
when
you're done with the first one, because I got two videos.
Okay, I am done with this one. I can't go any further down.
Here we go.
Okay.
Five alleged bikies.
Stopping at a pub in the Sunshine Coast hinterland could cost a group of alleged bikies 6 months in jail. Police say the five men are members of the Rebels Motorcycle Club and under tough new laws are banned from meeting in groups of three or more. Matt Wordsworth reports.
Sunshine Coast Gang Squad and Task Force Maxima teamed up for this morning's raid. It's on five properties. Their targets were alleged members of the Rebels Motorcycle Club. Five men were arrested, aged between 26 and 56.
We will allege that whilst their clubhouse may remain closed, they are still active participants in CMGs.
Police say a tip-off from the public was crucial, and the group was allegedly captured on CCTV drinking at the Yandina pub. They were charged under new anti-consorting laws, which ban three or more members of a declared criminal organisation from meeting in public. They are from the same family. The penalty is a mandatory six-month jail term.
It's family members getting together after a day of work to have a drink. It's not fair.
So they now have no one to support them, no one to pay their rent, their phone, their power, and these boys are going to jail for having a beer on the veranda of a pub.
Mike Smith admits he's a Rebels member, but denies three of the group are. So too does the United Motorcycle Council.
I know they're not members because I'm a member of the Rebels Motorcycle Club, so I know my members.
The five appeared in court this afternoon and were remanded in custody to appear in Brisbane tomorrow. Meanwhile, another alleged gang member, 29-year-old concreter Ben Adam Wilson, faced a Brisbane court for entering a prescribed place. His family also disputes membership.
He is not an associate to any motorcycle club. He may be friends with someone, but that does not make him a club member or an associate.
He was arrested at the opening of the 12-gauge clothing store, which was previously a Rebel clubhouse. He too faces a mandatory six-month sentence if convicted. The matter was adjourned with a bail application next week. Matt Wordsworth, ABC News.
Wow.
There's another one. Hold on. This is David Simon. Bikey wiretaps and the American, the Americans. And the American dream.
What little I've heard in the short time that I've been here, suggests that they are using the war on drugs or more specific.
David Simon, he's the creator of The Wire. I don't know if anybody knew
okay.
that.
I didn't know.
Fears of organized crime. to diminish civil rights.
Is that particularly, is this referencing that particularly some of the bikie laws that have been introduced
yes,
in Queensland?
That's a recipe for tyranny. You know, the idea that you're going to be compelled to make statements against yourself, that you're down the road of, in my country, that stinks of McCarthyism and HUAC and a lot of great tragedy. Whenever somebody's manufacturing fears about crime to institute really rigorous shortcuts, you know, police work should only be easy in a police state. Whenever they're using the fear of violent crime to institute shortcuts in what should be the rigor of police work, I'm disbelieving, and I come to the conclusion very quickly after looking at it in my country that it's basically about social control.
You're here in Sydney to give a talk at the Sydney Opera House tomorrow about the fraught nature of the American dream. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been talking about?
We have two different Americas now. We have the America that's relevant to capital and to our economy, and we have the America that's irrelevant, and they're drifting apart.
I mean, recent events that have been going on in America, particularly with the debt crisis and the U.S. shutdown, seem particularly relevant to that sort of discussion. I mean, is that something you're going to bring into the talk?
Well, there's a lot of people who are becoming even more dogmatic about the idea that the markets are the answer to everything. And the rise of libertarianism in my country and the purchase of my electoral process in my country by capital makes reform even more problematic. I don't think the next century will be an American one, based on how we're going. And I think in some ways the West has followed us a good deal of the way down the road in terms of abandoning the things that made the 20th century capitalism the viable economic engine it was. The trick is not merely to maximize profit. The trick is to distribute that profit in such a way across the society so that you form a purchasing class that drives demand. And that's what's being butchered, and it's been butchered since 1980, and you're seeing the actual earning power and spending power of the American family diminish. And you've seen that, obviously you've seen that to extremity in Europe. There have to be other metrics by which you measure the health of your society other than the quarterly report or the stock price. Almost every standard of civilized society, America is retrenching. For the fact that we keep minting a few new millionaires every day.
You labeled the Guardian's revelations on the NSA surveillance scheme as a faux scandal.
Yeah.
I mean, is that an argument that you still stand by?
Actually more affirmed in it. First, we have to sort of divide the two things that have been driving the headlines. There's first the notion of, and the one that I wrote on was the idea that Americans are being spied on by their own government. And there, I was very disappointed by the Guardians being co-opted by effectively an advocate for that particular point of view, which is...
Well, he's a Guardian employee, I mean, no longer anymore, he's moving on. But
by any other name, a rogue.
And a journalist as well.
By any other name, if he's a journalist, he's not behaving as such.
How does a journalist behave?
Eventually, I'll get a whole sentence out, if you let me. Well, first of all, I was never engaged when I was reporting. And I'm not speaking of when I was being a commentator or blogging or arguing a point of view in an editorial craft. But when I was actually reporting, I was never an advocate for anything, ever, in my entire career. Nor do I have high regard for anyone who's an advocate for anything. I don't want to have my journalism strained through advocacy. But if you've ever actually covered a wiretap anywhere in the American criminal justice system, you understand that minimization is not only an essential, but it's an inevitable consequence of intercepting data, which is to say, every electronic intercept results in data being captured that you don't wish to capture and that you don't have a right to capture.
World leaders having their phone numbers tapped by the NSA. I mean, mean, so you don't find that particularly shocking or scandalous?
I'm sort of amazed that in this day and age, with the technological capabilities being what they are, there isn't fundamental security that wasn't so easily breached. Am I saying I think it was intelligence? I think all intelligence gathering, it certainly isn't illegal. You know, there are very few rules for our intelligence agencies operating overseas in terms of how they acquire information. So now we're not even at the point of unconstitutionality or illegality in terms of my own domestic issues. But in terms of morality, you know, I can only say that the truth is, in the real world of intelligence gathering, is don't get caught. And the Americans got caught. If you get caught, you're embarrassed. And we're embarrassed. But ultimately, I don't see that as being anything other than an overreach on the part of the intelligence agencies that are effectively charged with putting on the president's desk every morning the best possible assessment of the world situation. And it's at the point where they start looking at my data because of my political views or as a means of persecuting me or as a means of segregating me because of my participation in something they don't, you know. At that point, that database is being misused for improper purposes.
Now said there.
Wow. Yeah, I just don't get how they can justify what they do. Well, and get away with it. I mean, do they not have rights like we do?
No. Different people just don't know how the Bill of Rights protects us.
See, I just assumed, which it will make me look like an ass, but at least I'm being honest about it. I just assumed that in other countries, other places, that there was something, not like a Bill of Rights, but something that could be protective to the individuals of anyone, okay, John Doe, Jane Doe, you know, Joe Schmo, in the regard of, you know, where they have some kind of a step if anything legality comes their way. I didn't know that they had nothing.
Yeah, it's nobody.
Which makes it even harder.
Yep. See, I don't know if you got all of what I read last night, but for us in California, there's a law in the books. I'll read it to you again.
Right.
I'll read it again. The Supreme Court ruled in the case of Cohen versus California, 403 U.S. 15, 1971, that individuals have the constitutional right under the First Amendment to wear clothing which displays writing or designs. In addition, the right of an individual to freedom of association has long been recognized and protected by the United States Supreme Court. Thus, a person's right to wear the clothing of his choice, as well as the right to belong to any club, organization of his choice, is constitutionally protected, and persons or establishments who discriminate on the basis of clothing or club membership are subject to lawsuit. Don't subject yourself to civil and criminal penalties and too expensive and time-consuming lawsuits. Don't discriminate against people wearing colors or motorcycle attire. They don't have any laws like that over there. That's why they have the problems they're having. Yeah, and but what happens here, like I said, what happens here
something that happens, it's going to happen here sometime.
Right.
I can see it coming.
Right. I mean, in a matter of time, yeah. And that's why I was talking about, I'm referring to, not meaning that, you know, it was going to happen tomorrow, but at some point it will, you know. And it, I find it ironic how the governments, parliaments, whatever you want to call them, because in every country it's different, how when they came into their laws, like they did here, you know, to sit down and come up with some kind of laws, how they just feel that the public doesn't have a right or doesn't have a stand, a foot to stand on. You know what I mean? So if, say, if you and Bill go and travel to Australia and mm-hmm. you two are just on a bike taking a ride because it's a beautiful sunny day out, because that's what you're used to doing in California. Now, this would have to come into thought as well. If someone comes in from out of the country on vacationing and they want to ride, and since they are going at bikies the way that they are, okay, is any individual out there for a nice day ride going to be targeted? See, that's something else. Because no one wants to be held up in an out-of-country court system either.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
And it's a hell of a way to try and get out of that. You know, the State Department and everything else, I have to be involved. I mean, it would just be a mess. And the State Department doesn't move fast. And, you know, any country, parliament or government could sit there, well, your citizen so-and-so did this when actually you didn't, you know, where that way they can detain you, you know. This is just appalling because the way that they're going at this, I'm curious the thought of how many vacationers are they going to nab up as well?
Well,
they may not like their look.
That's the thing, but I'm going to ask that question to Eva next time she calls.
It is a good question. Mm-hmm. What would they do? You know, I mean, let's face it, not everybody like me, there's not a lot of people like me that don't have a tat at all, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a
I don't
lot
have
of people
any
out there that, but there are a lot of people out there, there's a majority that have tats, whether if it be two, whether if it be whatever, okay? And it doesn't matter. A tat does not make a person at all. But are they going to target people because they have long hair and they have tats, or they have piercings and tats and, you know, a men's style cut hair, or women with long hair and, you know, they have a full sleeve or something like that? You know, that you're profiling beyond a profile. And, you know, I mean, there's women that are 75 years old that got a tattoo probably when they were like 18 that still have it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So, you know, are they just only trying to go to a certain type of group, or are they targeting something on a bigger level? Because if they profile just strictly with tattoos and long hair and they ride a bike, that's targeting a lot of citizens. A lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's the days of the walking on pins and needles are over, you know. Days about worrying about feelings have ended. It's time to step on some toes and take our country back.
Right. But how can Americans help in regards to,
well, we, well,
you know,
basically now there's a thing called let me see if I can find it real quick. It's called Save the Patch. It's a group that was started. Yeah, it's a community. Let me get the... Basically, yeah, it's called Save the Patch. let's see. Invite. I'm going to invite you to this group, Nora.
Okay. Because there was a group out there that I went to go try and join. It was for the Australian bikies, but I never got added.
Mm-hmm.
So. Thank you for...
Yeah, because they had it the other day. They had a thing with Malcolm X that if you're not careful, the newspapers will have the people who are being oppressed loving the people who are doing the oppressing.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's like, true. And look at how long ago Malcolm X made that statement.
Yeah. It's like, do you think you can choose your friends, your job, or your lifestyle? Not in Australia, where you can also be arrested for having a beer with your mates.
Yeah, and that's what I'm not understanding. You know, I mean... Okay, we all know that you got your shot in a beer joints, you know what I mean? You got your clubs, you got your whatever the hell else you want to call them. So say you're going into your local shot in a beer joint and you're meeting up with the mates, as they say, to go have a beer. You don't have any knowledge at all of an association anywhere. So then you have two more guys come in, and you got two bikey guys coming in. So you're all sitting at different spots at a bar, around a bar, and then all of a sudden, poof, here comes storming in through the door, and you're all under arrest. For what? For having a beer? No. You're going to be put under arrest because you have two men that have no association. You got two men that are in a bikey. And then you've got two other men that are associates. Not members,
mm-hmm.
but associates. So you're all going to get tagged because you're all in the same place at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what they're doing.
Yeah.
And from what we were told, it's a very slow process over there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, it's not like they can change, you know, anything overnight. This is like, it's going to take years. It's not like months. You know, you can't sit there and get a parliament to change your mind like pronto.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people have to suffer losing their job, losing everything, because they're in jail? They can't support their families. And God forbid if you're a couple and you have kids at home and you're just going out for a nice ride put your knees in the breeze. You know, you stop, you get something to drink, bam, poof, off you go. And your kids go to either state or, you know, family.
Reason, another one I was saying.
Okay. This is drinking beer in Oz. 5 men accused of belonging or being associated with Vikings. Huh?
Skipped that one because it was part of the first one.
Okay.
The Vikings families.
Okay. Let me see. Because all I've got here is Australian for crime and Operation Lima Birch. My thing won't scroll down any further.
Mm-hmm.
So which one would you want me to read? The Australian for crime?
No, read the Bikey families. Just click on that link and it'll bring it up under the picture.
Thank you. I don't see. Oh, you mean that you put it on my page or on my email?
Yeah, on your page.
Oh, I'm sorry. Duh. I'm blind. I'm coming back to Earth. Thank you. Okay. Just waiting for it to load.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Vikey families will be torn apart if breadwinners jailed. Okay. The wives and partners of 5 Vikings arrested for associating together by having a beer in a pub are gearing up to spend an uncertain Christmas without their family breadwinners. At least 2 of the women fear they will have to give up their homes because they will be unable to pay for the rent, leaving them no choice but to move in with relatives to survive. What could be an anxious 6 months without their partners? Our whole family unit has been torn apart because they've been taken away, said one of the wives, whose partner was among those taken into custody in morning police raids in Yandina Creek. At least 23 people were involved in the raids. The investigation took about a month. The community think they're all these big bad people, but they actually work. They support their families, and now they've been taken away. The women and their partners have 8 children between them, all under the age of 9. They gathered together yesterday to offer each other support to plan their next steps and to distract their children from thinking about the traumatic morning. Some of the children have been asking if their father is confronted in their own homes while the youngsters slept, will return home in time to celebrate Christmas. It's one thing to be locked up when you've committed a crime, but they've been locked up for something every other Australian does every day of the week. We're all wondering what we are supposed to do. People say there must be more to it. There's no drugs, no money, no nothing. It's all to do with having a beer at Yandina Pub. The 5 Vikings. Were identified on footage as having a beer together at the Andina Hotel November 1st.
They were watching them for a month.
Right. A crime attracting a 6-month jail term under the vicious lawless association disestablishment laws introduced October 17th. The Vikings have been attending the Andina Hotel regularly for more than 20 years. Criminal motorcycle gangs use their numbers to intimidate others, spitting them up, helps ensure incidents similar to what happened on the Gold Coast aren't repeated. If criminal motorcycle gang members resign their membership and live law-abiding lives, then they can meet whoever they want whenever they want. The women, their arrested partners, and their children have been planning to share a Christmas lunch together at a local restaurant, but that has been canceled for the light of the anti-bike laws. Up until 2 months ago, it wasn't a crime. The laws have taken their freedom away from them. They're being dictated to what they can and can't do. Oh, my Lord. And, you know, the saddest thing is eventually they'll come here. And in some instances of that type of what you can and can't do is already here. Not to that degree, but we do have, you know, where you can be detained indefinitely.
Yep. Yeah, there's another one I sent you about the tattoos. Okay, the gentleman has an interesting take on
it. I got this. Okay. You know, I don't have tattoos, but I love looking at people's tattoos. Well, not like all over their bodies, but, you know, like if I see them on their arms or something. I've seen some people where they've got it, like, where they've shaved their head and have it on their skulls, and I'm like, holy crap, that had to hurt. Okay, free anti-Vlad tattoos from Bikey sick of new laws. Okay. A Sunshine Coast bikie has shown his contempt for the Newman government offering customers free IPIS and the Vlad Laws tattoos at his parlor. Bikies and owners of tattoo places will ink to protest against the state government bikie laws on anyone for free. The government says vicious, lawless association establishment, Vlad, though was designed to crack down on the organized criminal elements of MCs. However, called the laws draconian, so cruel and unusual that North Korean government would not implement them, and so broad that they could be applied to anyone. He believed the laws were to pretext for the government to crack down on unions and vowed to fight for them at every turn. The way they're presenting the Vlad laws, they're supposedly targeting bikies, but they don't even mention bikies. It is so drastic. If one of us, a member of an MC, breaks a law that you would normally get fined for, we get 15 years in solitary. If no one can see what's wrong with that, there's something wrong with this country. I'm just pissed off, and this is my way of showing how serious it is and my contempt for Newman and his laws. Okay, wait a minute, I scrolled too far. Bikies, despite it being declared as a outlaw organization, they said they would rather die than hand in their colors. He said he had been overwhelmed by demand for a free tattoo, which takes about 5 minutes to complete, with 100 customers taking up the offer. He said most of the people who had come in for the free ink were ordinary people, and he had a backlog of customers waiting for it. Most of the people coming in are just people off the street, he said. I've had parents come and get them, people in their 50s and 60s. You know, so now, not only if you have a beer in an establishment, if you are or not a known associate, and now with tattoos, what's going to be next in regards to everyone, like if you were in Catholic school, everybody has to wear the same color shirt, same color pants or dress or whatever, so this way they can identify who everyone is. This is crazy. I thought this was, you know, 2013. When did it become the Dark Ages? I don't even think the Dark Ages had the issue. Well, it's hard to say. I don't know. We weren't born then, but, you know, how ridiculous. What's going to be next?
Mm-hmm. Yep, what's going to be next?
And that's what, wow, that's just really upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know. I so if you become no one or nobody or don't do anything or just stay at home or I'm sorry, go to work, come home, do your home thing, eating, cleaning, kids, family, whatever, and you repeat that every single day. Everything's fine. So pretty much they want you to follow exactly the Parliament way.
Control. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. And how long before that control comes here? It will. One day. I know this. But, I mean, in regards to the intensity of what's taking place in Australia, it will crack even harder here. And what are they going to do? Make people go and get their tattoos removed? Are they going to pay to get their tattoos removed? Skin grafting is not cheap.
No. See what it is.
And who claims that all tattoo parlors are a form of organized crime? You're getting a tattoo, for God's sake. How pathetic. I mean, my daughter went in and got her first tattoo when she was 18. So I just went, I told her, I said, okay, it's my body until you turn 18. Once you're 18, that's on you. And, you know, it wasn't anything gaudy or nothing like that. It was a nice little heart, you know, and stuff with different things to it that meant things to her, no one else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that was said to her when she went into the tattoo parlor, the guy that was going to give her the tat, he looked at her, he said, you see that big fat guy over there? She goes, yeah. He's like, I noticed your first tattoo. If you pass out, that big fat guy over there is going to bring you back. It's not going to be me. I had to laugh, you know. But did she regret it? No. She's happy
with
what she has.
When I was thinking about getting a tattoo, that was when they had the first, when AIDS first started to pop up.
Right.
And I seen some guys disappear 4 or 5 months after they got their tats. So I was kind of like, no, not going to get one.
Yeah. Well, you know, back when I actually wanted to get one, I was in my 20s. It was actually pretty funny because I was at a helmet roast, you know, and, you know, watching the tattoo guy, and I'm like, oh, hell yeah. But then I'm sitting there thinking, what do I want? Because, you know, whatever you get, it's there. So you have to like it for a very long time. It's not going away. And but I couldn't figure out what. And, you know, friends that I went with, oh, you should get this, or oh, you should get that. And that's why I have no idea. This is something I have to do. And but I never came up with anything, so I was like, okay, forget it. It's not like I was afraid of needles. I just never knew what I wanted. So that was the end of that. I kind of like it that way anyways, you know.
Yeah. You know, so much nice day that I didn't really like, but they got, PTSD, post-traumatic Sons disorder. Sons, not stress.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know.
I seen that today, I was like, really?
I would have laughed. I don't know. Like I said, I love tattoos. I love looking at them on people, you know. I've seen beautiful murals, whole, you know, back work, sleeves, everything, you know, where it's just amazing. Oriental tattoos are just, oh, wow. But, you know, like I said, I like just not having a tattoo. I don't have to worry when I get really old, my skin gets sagging in places. I don't have to worry about, what is that on you? It's a saggy tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hate people that have them. You know what I mean? No
mm-hmm.
reason to.
No.
Tattoos are just a form of art.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. In fact, what was it? There's a tattoo place up the street from me that, you know, I tell people all the time, you want some good ink? Go there. Oh, do you have a tattoo? No. But the place is good. A good price, you know.
Yeah.
There used to be a place. Huh?
I don't have tattoos at all.
There used to be a
not even a henna.
Unbelievable tattoo place downtown.
Yeah.
Was
not
it
even a henna.
Chinese dragon or something? No, I know. Like I said, most people that have served the military, they've got tats of some sort, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody did, you know, and that's okay. That's your own choice. The only thing I thought about, like, when I was in my 20s, you know, and just being a smartass, I said maybe I should get WW on my butt cheeks, you know. Mom and Lau. Ooh. But, you know, when you're in your 20s, huh?
WW butt.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just a smart ass to me. And I probably would have done that if I really wanted to, you know, because I had people sit there and say, that's what you should have done, you know, standing up, mom, upside down, wow. But, you know, like I said, I just enjoy looking at them on other people.
Mm-hmm.
or I'll ask people, didn't that hurt? Because I've seen some, you know, back pieces, I always figure because of the bones, you know. And it's like, didn't that hurt? Oh, a little, okay, you know.
Mhm. Check out this one I just sent you right now. We're gonna wait.
Okay.
And see if, we're gonna wait and see if this person calls in. But
okay. Is that my email?
No, it's on your page.
Sure. Oh, okay. Sorry. I asked first because I was out having a cigarette. Yes, in the cold, freezing weather. Ooh.
I don't know. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy. If we don't, like I always say, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah, but if you have, wow, tattooed on you, that could be pretty sightseeing right there. Sorry, I just had to say it. It was funny. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, brothers and sisters, I thought I lived in America, the land of the free, because of the brave. As most of you know, I live by a code. I need advice.
No, brothers and sisters.
Oh.
I didn't want you to read it out loud. I wanted you to read it.
Oh, we're I'm sorry.
No, we're waiting for her to call. Call in about
okay.
that. That's actually someone that sent that to me asking for advice on what to do. So I told them.
Oh, okay.
To read it to yourself, and then you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Okay. I did. I'm sorry. Well, you said to read it. Next time be a little bit more. Say, read it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, you know, I'm going to get off subject here real quick. We have the big, huge pots for the lottery, and I've never played the lottery before. And I got, like, really excited because I played it for the first time. And so I'm hoping, I'm not crossing anything, but I'm hoping. One pot is like 7.5 mil. The other
mm-hmm.
one is 40 mil. And the other one is 400 mil. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I popped one of the 400s.
Oh, you bought some?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I've never played it. I had to, anybody would laugh at me. I was sitting there asking my daughter, you know, what do you do? Didn't you ever buy a lottery ticket before? No. The scratch-off things, you know, but a lot of those are, like, really confusing. You know, I've gotten somewhere, it's like, how do you scratch this? You know, and then I'll give it to my daughter because she knows more about it than I do. That's a nice little plastic bubble. So how's your granddaughter doing?
Good. She got her first Christmas tree the other day, and then she had on her first pair of tights today.
That's so special.
Yep.
At least you're not missing any of that special, the special moments, you and Gina, you know. I won't see mine for Christmas. They won't be here until, like, late Christmas Day night, so I'm going to miss the whole caboodle with them. And, you know, that's a little depressing. But, you know, it is what it is. But I'm hoping, you know, not too long, he'll be walking.
Yeah. Hmm? Here, I got a laugh for you. Just listen to this.
Okay. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, it was Jingle Farts.
Yeah. Have you heard the one Grandma got molested at the airport? That one is hilarious. Oh, boy. Stop. We just did that at the same time. How crazy was that?
No. Let me do this real quick. Let me play this. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Is that you, Elizabeth?
Yes.
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Just wrapping up the night, making some tea.
Yeah, I got a cold Pepsi I'm doing. But, no,
good.
Welcome to
I'm
the
so
show.
I'm so glad to get through. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that was sent to me, the article. And I'll read it real quick, but... This was sent to me by a friend, and well, recently we became friends. But he says, "Well, brothers and sisters, I thought I lived in America, the land of the free, because of the brave. As most of you know, I live by a code. I need to advise brothers and sisters, my back is against the wall. 4 years ago, I started a social club, vet support group, and tried to make a difference in people's lives, supporting our Constitution, unite with like-minded people." For a country. P.S. Post-traumatic stress disorder and prospecting for anyone would not mix so well. I was just told to dismantle because I have a. I am so blown away right now. What should I do? So I said, and my other friend Rusty told him, changing the word doesn't have to mean changing the mission. If the demand has come down from a dominant club, better to make peace and give you respect and maybe come out to the other side better off than when you went in, with their blessing and respect returned. Your soul has to be torn asunder, on the other hand, and you feel disrespected to an extent that you can't rise above it, do what you got to do. And Lance wrote in, well, PTSD is real, and only those with it will fully understand. Two is compromise. This is what any soldier really needs, regardless of the mission. There's a difference between what is needed, desired, and called for. And Elizabeth wrote, I believe in you, Philip. You've been through the fire and back. Riding is a joy, and there's such a light, long-lived purpose of freedom behind it. And her husband has PTSD as well. Perhaps not to the extent of some of the other vets, but we as a couple are reaching, you know, a point in, you know. Well, take it from there, Elizabeth.
Absolutely. I was, right before I called, I was speaking with my husband, and his words were real simple, right on. The purpose is clear. It's a healthy outlet. You know, it's driven. So many families are affected by PTSD, meaning both good and bad. We ourselves have had to go through so much counseling, heartache even, forgiveness. I mean, talk about a test of our characters as adults. And through a marriage, we, you know, we are constantly trying to find ways to rise above those PTSD altogether and just come together as a whole and rejoin everybody and be able to laugh and live and you know, for how odd that Jack would even have to face that, honestly, because it is a freedom to have, and I could definitely relate to what he's saying. When, especially for males and females, individuals with PTSD, asking them to give up something that's comforting and that offers peace of mind, that's asking a little too much. And
the same thing that got me was now all of a sudden somebody's making an issue out of it after 4 years.
Exactly. Is that and that's another really good key point to look at is. Been strong and been going for 4 years. It's been the rock, I can only imagine, for so many. I mean, as we live here in Oceanside, right above the Mission San Luis Rey, and we're constantly seeing vet riders come up and down the highways, riding around with their wives, daughters. You know, it's this great honor. We wave, we honk, we wish everybody safe rides all the time, and for that, I couldn't even really understand how it would be an issue after 4 years of going strong and riding together where the problem would come from. I mean, unless there's like an antagonist behind the whole thing, but even then, that's kind of maybe on an immature level. Somebody like that shouldn't have a say on whether something is dismantled or kept strong, in my opinion.
Being in the MC world and the things that go on, there's a lot of politics. So I know politics is behind this, and it has to do with one word that they have in their club name. And it's just like what you're saying about the writing. I don't know if you know, but Bill has the shop downtown in Oceanside, and we see anywhere from 20 to 30 guys that are sent from Pendleton to come down and hang out at the bike shop. It's like sanctuary. It's all like-minded people there. So Bill and I kind of know when people walk in who's what, you can tell. And the only reason I can say you can tell is because I've experienced it. And we don't approach them. We let them come to us. Because they're drawn distant and they don't want to talk about anything. But if you make the atmosphere comfortable and they see that or they hear the conversations, because basically that's a daily topic for us. And as you said, the men and women, everybody forgets there's women involved in this too.
Mm-hmm.
And we let them, you know, we just let them. Like they may come one day, not say a word, look around, leave, come back the next day, come back a couple days later. And then they'll approach us. And then that's where we hook them up when whatever they want to know about a bike or if they've never rode before or they want to ride or they want to start riding, we steer them in the right direction. And we also invite them all to down all the events. Like we on the 22nd of this month, which is a Sunday, we do that big event that we call the big cover-up. It'll probably be anywhere from maybe 1,500 to 2,000 people down in front of Bill's from all the clubs, the veterans clubs, the sober clubs, the MC clubs. Everybody will be there. But everybody will come together. And if you've ever been there, I'm extending you an invitation to you and your husband. You can bring the kids too. There's stuff for the kids there. But you just have to experience it. And I noticed you said you wanted to develop a club. We can help you with that.
Absolutely, I'd love to do that, and we will definitely count us in. We'd love to attend the event. It sounds like the purpose and the club behind what you and Philip are doing is crucial. It's crucial to the healing and the repair of these men and women as, you know, as important individuals in the community. You all as servicemen have done us all a great honor. Completely, to the sky. But is there a way that one word can be revised or changed so that it's not a conflict with in the politics?
Yeah, I gave him some advice on that, and he's going to talk to the rest of the guys in his club, and then I told him where to go and who to talk to and how to handle it, and they'll see if they'll let them change one word. I don't want to say what it is because then they'll give it away. So I'll just let them, when they're ready, they're gonna come on and they're gonna talk about what happened, and probably the people that I told them to talk to will come on and explain their point of view. But it all needs to be handled sometimes with kid gloves, because if you do the wrong thing, and I don't know if you've noticed, but how many motorcycles have you seen pop up in the last couple of years?
Motorcycle clubs or motorcyclists?
No. Well, you see more motorcyclists now, but how many of them do you see wearing a patch now?
Not too many.
Okay. Well, I've counted in the last 3 months, I've counted 66 different patches. And
that's great.
Yeah, but the problem is nobody's talked to nobody. When I ask these guys if you talk to them, you have to go to, there's a thing called the Confederation of Clubs. This is where the politics gets into it. Before you can get your members, but nobody can wear anything until you go there and present it. And if there's an issue, it gets taken care of right then and there, not 3 months down the road and you're in a bar fight.
I see. So that's how there's a like a process,
Exactly. If you don't follow all the steps, you're going to get stepped on.
And that makes sense.
I'll give you an example. And I'm sure you've seen this, but you've seen people running around with Sons of Anarchy stuff on?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and you look at their back, and you see three pieces of that patch. It's called a three-piece patch. One, the top says Sons of Anarchy with the Grim Reaper below it, and then it says California on the bottom. Now, everybody knows it's a TV show. Granted, everybody, they don't know the inner workings of the MC world, or they wouldn't be wearing that shirt, because you walk into the wrong bar, you're in trouble. You're going to get told to take it off, and if you've had a few beers in you, you know what you're going to say. And the next thing you know, somebody's at a hospital, and people are getting arrested for a T-shirt. There's two bars downtown in Oceanside that won't let people in wearing those shirts. They won't let anybody in wearing a shirt, but particularly those. I mean, I was just in Chicago about 6 weeks ago, and I seen people riding around with the same thing on that said Chicago on the bottom, or Illinois, not having a clue. I talked to a guy in the grocery store. He didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and that's what really gets to me is when that makes me laugh so hard and kind of just brush things off is that there's a difference between an actual MC with driven purpose, with families helping, I mean, out in the community, making things happen, making a difference, and then the whole hype behind the Sons of Anarchy TV episodes and what, just because that is Hollywood, whether or not they were the stories gathered on unreal events or, you know, similar events really has nothing to do with the heart that the MC holds, that these MCs hold in the community. And in my opinion, I know I'm not the only one that feels that way, but everybody is here, you know, with the heart that it takes, I believe, to do something like that. So I could only imagine some TV Born shirt, you know, really getting, you know, some fellas and pretty heated over, you know, after they've been through so much. You know, they've been toting, having to see things, having to endure for months on end, just the conditions that soldiers endure.
Yeah, and the same thing, like when they come back, they're looking for that adrenaline rush. So they all go out and buy them hype, them, Japanese or European bikes that go fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we were losing a lot of guys a couple years after all this. It's been 10 years now, but we've been losing a lot of guys because of drinking and driving. That's why all the military branches, I think four, maybe 5 years ago, decided that everybody had to get permission to buy a bike. So if you were an E5 or below, you had to go through everybody in your chain of command to the colonel or captain or whoever it was, that your evals had to be good, your attitude had to be good, and you couldn't have any alcohol-related incidents. And they would sign you off to get the bike once you did the approved military courses. And even now, we do the same thing. We ask guys when they come to Bill's and they want to find out about a bike. Bill asks them, how long have you been riding? Oh, well, I used to ride 10 years ago or this and that. Okay, then he walks them over and he hands them the flyer for the school, as well as they can go on the base and do the same thing. And a lot of guys, no, I don't need that. And it's not that we try and talk them into doing it, but basically my comment is, well, if I seen you out and you were at a bar and I knew you were on your bike, I'd probably buy you a tire the next day. And you're like, well, why would I need it? Because I put a hole in it so you can't ride the bike. You'll be mad. We'll point out that you were shit-faced, and you'll probably tell me thank you. Because being a younger enlisted guy, you don't have $38,000 to fight a DUI ticket, as well as you're going to do your one term and you're up because of that alcohol-related incident. It's the same thing when... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, no, that's so right, and that would be definitely, you know, one of those key points where, you know, life just happens, and these things, you know, both good and bad that we take all together, you know, they collect after a while, and I would say it's probably just a good metaphor in relation to life and its circumstances altogether. Getting that hole in the tire, you know, finding out it was, you know, one of the more, the more original members, that would be funny, you know, to me, I would think, because there's more serious things that happen, and it's, I think that developing that thick skin and that good sense of humor after coming from so much is so important. And, you know, I believe that the MCs and the brotherhood and the sisterhood, they support all that. Just, you know, everything's a healthy flow to not give in, to not expect things to be, you know, candy cane perfect and everything. You know, there's just too much that happens within the limits.
Yeah, we had a spike in that one about 3 years ago, we buried 18 guys. The next year, we buried 22. And last year, we buried 17. And this year, we're 14. And the year's not over yet. Because a lot of guys don't listen. They think, oh, I went through all this stuff over there. I can handle this. They can't. It's just like when they go out to the casinos out there in East County and come back on those down Palomar Mountain or whatever, and you hear about one or two a weekend, if I'm not mistaken, injured or dead. That's what we're trying to stop. And I liked your idea about the club. We'll talk about that when I see you on the 22nd.
Yes, definitely, because as a newbie, there's so much for me to learn, and there's such a deeper heart to behind getting this started and getting it up in the road, up in the works, I just want our vets and our military to know that, us as our wives, sisters, mothers, nieces, nephews, cousins, all the above, that we care for you all. As well as caring for community. And
it's like,
we
it's
like
sure yeah, it's like if basically, you guys, we tell them what we went through. We tell them what we did. And I'm here to admit I had gotten, when I was a young kid, I thought I was, nothing could touch me. I ended up getting it was very hard. I almost lost a lot of things. It was very hard. And I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't had anything to drink since. That's it's over 20 something years right now.
Congratulations. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol is not necessarily always a great outlet. It should definitely be something to celebrate and, to help wind down the edges. But there are so many other things, too. And I believe and I feel that if we get up and running and we get this going, we'll prove to be, more on the same level. Instead of all these arguments and all this miscommunication, it'll support more understanding and help the community for others understand, because sometimes I come across a few people that don't really understand exactly how the military works and, how the syndromes come to be. And I hear a lot of arrogant things that make me pretty defensive, and I'm pretty well with words and expressing myself in a respectful way, so I'm careful not to cross those lines, but I can definitely feel and hear where the heat comes from within these fights in trying to transition from even being a soldier back to civilian, or just even being a soldier, having to answer to so much, and then having, somebody else who just Mickey Mouse, running around saying a bunch of stuff they probably really shouldn't be talking about. And, I feel it'll be better managed once, that'll be something easier to brush off and laugh off. If there's more of us that are willing to stand by and support, and out of love and out of good character, not out of the popularity of wanting to look cool or joining the whole Sons of Anarchy crew, that has its own place in Hollywood. But I really feel that
All it is it's just a TV soap opera. That's all it is. But right now, because if something happens with any club and they get arrested and they go to court, what do you think the jury pool is going to be contaminated with? It's going to be contaminated from watching the Sons of Anarchy. Those guys sitting in the courtroom are going to be thought of as gun runners and murderers and everything else because of TV. That's why people have to just realize it's a TV show. Nora, you're sitting there in the weeds. What do you think?
I mean, everything has its process, you know, and things have to go in a certain order. And once that's achieved, you know, in the right way, you know, it can go very good.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about Elizabeth's idea of starting a group, a support group?
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. But it's just a process that has to go through. The channels, as you stated, you know, which is correct. Things could go not right if it's not done properly.
Yeah, she's not going to have. She's not going to have a. I don't think she's going to have. They're going to make up a vest with colors on.
Right.
I think it's going to probably be more of a banner. What are your ideas about that, Elizabeth? If you don't mind me asking, what are you thinking about right now on how to do that?
Not at all. I don't mind answering the question at all. I was thinking of, since I'm a woman, you know, I don't know if it would just primarily be more women, but as so far as coming from an effeminate mind, I was thinking of just something simple like roses and violets. It's, you know, just to symbolize, like, every rose has its thorns, you know, being that we as women, you know, Anna's mothers, sisters, aunts, you know, and so on, we go through so much, and we just come out rosy, you know, at the end, like, everything's so great. But, you know, sometimes people forget that, you know, that's where our thorns come from, is from having to go through these experiences. We come into the circles with one idea in mind, expecting that, you know, it would be understood or things will be fair, and it ends up being a whole other world of politics and orders and just the way how things are normally ran. And out of respect, of course, we all conform, but, you know, as we come back home and return to our regular lives, it's just, you know, we're right back at that process of making everything rosy, making everything smell good metaphorically. And it's just, for me, having lived it gives me a far better feeling for what I'm about, and even not so much about me, because I feel like I'm just like a tiny little piece of rice in the mix. And you know, just from what everybody's gone through and how they come up. And that's just my hope, is that the women, the females, they keep coming up, you know, rosy, you know, not perfect, I should say, but, you know, rosy and classy and, you know, just elegant like the violets, you know, knowing that underneath all, you know, we've weathered so much, and we will continue to do so out of heart and out of love and out of support. You know, that's what I was hoping, you know, and whether or not there was, you know, we could have this for special occasions, you know, they're really great, and I love leather. I can't get over, God, I think I just love it, and I don't know any American who doesn't love handcrafted leather, so.
Yeah, I had.
Not to embarrass myself.
No, I was on my Dyna coming up 5, and I got hit by a drunk, and I had a leather jacket on that my mother had bought me, and I fought with the paramedics because they cut my pants off, and then they were going to cut my jacket off, and I told them to give me a shot. I broke my shoulder, and they told me, you know, they needed to cut my jacket off, and I said, bullshit, I was fighting with them, yeah. I was actually fighting with them, even with my bad shoulder, to my leather jacket. Once you cut it, it's not going to be the same. And then I was up at a place called Espinosa's, and they custom fitted me for a vest to my size. And I've got a lot of compliments on it, and got some questions on it, stuff that I have on it. No, I like it. I like that more than almost as much as I'd fight probably almost as much as I did when they tried to cut that jacket my mom bought me before she died. But other than that, no, I hear what you're saying. Anybody that says they don't like leather is lying.
Mm-hmm. There's so much, you know, and I think that's just amazing. There's just so much history behind leather, just because there's so much work goes into making it, and you know, getting the stitching just right, and it's just like almost a piece of art because it's so tough. Like I probably shouldn't admit this on air, but I can't sew to save my life, and I probably should be able to, but my husband's actually the best stitcher I know. Like he just fixes everything. So.
And he was in the Marines, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, well, he was.
Getting ready for a junk in the bunk. I sewed my own shit too. I sew pretty good myself.
Absolutely, and he is just this deep culture-rooted person, and it's great. I'm just looking forward to developing the club more so that it brings in more people that feel just like us, you know. Because sometimes I can, you know, some people feel like it's, you know, such a taboo subject because of everything that happens in it, but. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be this something that we run from, or it should be something we run to aid and to help and do what we can.
Mm-hmm.
Just through, because we're just provided with all these freedoms and comforts due to the fighting that the vets have provided for us. We were able to be here safe and look after what we needed to, you know, while our fathers, brothers, sisters, cousins, and uncles, you know, out there in the line of duty, and that is amazing to me. And I noticed so many that it is just an absolute, you know, just this honor to even have in the families.
Yeah. His mom didn't teach him how to go. Elizabeth, his mother didn't teach him how to cook, did she?
No, not too well. That's my department.
Oh, okay.
I'm a champion in the cooking department. He does well. He does well.
Yeah,
guys.
No. My mom told me when I
was... I've been sick.
No, my mom told me, if you want to meet girls, this is what you need to do. She was right. Yeah, she was right. But, no, and if you want to talk to me before that, like, I'm off tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'll be at Bill's on Saturday and Sunday. So if you wanna ride by there before the event, that way, if you wanna, we'll tell you how to get things going. And if you wanna put a little recruiting table up, and you can get some people from the ride beforehand instead of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
that'd
if you'd
great.
Like to do
that'd
that,
that'd be great because. I know I need the help. I spent the last year and a half with all this medical terminology and knowledge in my head. I feel like that's still swarming in my mind, which is good. But I would love to. I would.
Okay.
My heart is so
yeah.
much bigger than my pride, and I'm not going to be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. If you want to, like I said, if you want to meet me and... I'll let Bill know you're coming, and we'll bump our heads together, and then we'll have answers for you when you get there. But I'll be there Saturday at probably around noon, 1 o'clock, right in there sometime.
Okay, Saturday.
Yeah. If
you
want,
I'll Friday?
Friday? Yeah, I'll be there. Bill won't be there on Friday. He's off on Fridays. He's got some medical issues with his wife. He has to take her to the doctor. And... yeah, or Sunday. You got Saturday or Sunday. I'll send you my phone number.
Okay, Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you can just text me and let me know. And then I'll text you back and I'll let you know what time I'll be there.
Okay.
But, yeah. So and if you want to come, like I said, if you want to, we'll tell you what's going on and we'll tell you steps to take. And if you want to come back Tuesday and make out a, you know, well, you can do a little recruiting. I'll give you a little recruiting time. Because the daily blog that I have, it gets 80 to 90,000 hits a day worldwide. And we have a few guys, we have two guys listening in China if they catch them. Because anything from the West is outlawed, so if they catch them, they're playing with fire because they'll kill them. They listen to the radio show via pirate computer, and they get the blog the same way. They've been that way for about 3 years now, ever since they started importing Harleys to China. So people over there are trying to get the... They've got their own culture, bikers.
That's so great. Culture is definitely a big part of who we are.
That's it. This is a culture. Everybody thinks it's not, but it is. I just sent you my number, but we're getting down to the last few minutes. So, like I said, I sent you my number. Ring me up, and we'll talk, and then we'll tell you what to do, and you can chat something up. If you got any of your girlfriends that are interested in this, the more you have people that have gone through this and can talk to people that are going through it, you'd be surprised how many doors open.
Absolutely. That just made my night. Thank you so much. I will definitely be in contact with you, and we will get something started. And thank you so much for giving me your input and inviting me to the event and to the show tonight. It's been great.
Yeah. And then, like I said, we do 3 nights a week, but Bill's got some medical issues with his wife, so he's on the run for a little bit doing things that way. But he will be back. And I talked to him today, and he told me to let everybody know that he'll be back soon. And I talked to a couple other people, and we're going to have some... on Wednesday nights, we do, because of the Sons of Anarchy, we do a radio show on, it's called Sam Crow Radio, where I bring on one of the actors from the show, and we interview them, and people get to call in and ask them questions. And a lot of, I don't know if, the thing that I like, and most of these guys are my friends, but the thing that I like is they support all the groups. And if I call them and I need them for something, they're there. And one of the biggest supporters, well, there's actually five of the biggest supporters are Emilio Rivera, Charlie, Theo Rossi, Kim Coates, and Tommy Flanagan, and Boone, and Dayton. We're going to interview Dayton Kelly, who plays the sheriff. We're going to interview Emilio, who plays the president. He's a friend of mine, and the guy that plays Quinn, Rusty Coons, he's also a friend of mine. We're going to interview him, too, in the next couple of weeks. So I'll send you a flyer and ask them guys questions. Or if you want to ask them to help support your group.
Maybe that'd be great.
Maybe we get one of them to be your spokesman.
That'd be neat. I would be speechless for a moment or two. I might need a day to recollect.
Oh, no worries. And you brought it up earlier, but I think it's I'm going to play this song because I think it's appropriate. I'm going to let this take us out, and I'll talk to you soon. Nora, thanks again for calling in and filling in for Bill from time to time. He really appreciates
you.
And we're going to send you a Christmas present. Can't tell you what it is. Can't tell
is
you what
it is. Is it a man? No.
No.
Kidding. That was a joke.
But if, Yeah, but if you're going to send us cookies this year, put them in a box, will
you? No, they're going to go to you in hand, so they don't get broke. Just don't eat them on the way back.
Oh, yeah, right. The last one were good with my ice cream. So I'm going to let...
won't be in crumbs, but you guys have a great night. It was great talking to you, being on the show with you again, and always glad to help, and we will talk on Tuesday.
Okay, and Elizabeth, you picked tonight's closing song. It's by Poison, and it's called Every Rose Has Its Thorn. And I'll talk to everybody Tuesday. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Every cowboy.
Good night, everybody.